Hello and welcome to this AAT podcast on work-life balance. My name is Tracy Sinclair and I am a corporate executive coach and professional development trainer. I have been working with the AAT staff, branch network and members for the last 13 years. During this recording, there may be an opportunity for you to complete an exercise for yourself or to take a little time for thinking. Therefore, please feel free to pause the recording at any relevant point for this purpose. During the course of this recording, we will cover the following areas. We will look at four different perspectives of work and life. We will look at the ingredients for balance between the two. We will think about how we vote with our time. We will also cover a concept called leaking energy. And finally, we will look at getting in the zone. So this topic of work-life balance is a subject that has grown in interest over recent years. There are many different perspectives and approaches that can be taken. And the perspective that I would like to bring today is from the world of psychology, performance coaching, and the study of human behaviour. Work-life balance. How can you have it all and thrive within the constraints and demands of the challenges we face in our lives today? The answer is balance. Balance comes from how we perceive our situation and the decisions we make about it. In making those decisions, we express choices and preferences, i.e., we vote. And the three main resources we have to vote with are our time, our energy, and our money. One of the main areas where we can see this voting in action is in our work-life balance. Studies into this area show that how we feel about these two very important parts of our lives is down to the attitude and perspective we have about the relationship between them. So let us consider some different perspectives about that relationship. Think about the following statements. Work versus life. This implies perhaps that there is some type of competition or conflict between the two. What about work and life? This perhaps implies that they are two totally separate things, like we're almost two different people. How about the statement, life is work? This sounds as though it implies that all we live for is work. Is there nothing else? And finally, what about work is life? Perhaps this implies that work is part of life. So which perspective do you have? Work versus life? Work and life? Life is work? Or work is life? Take a moment to consider these four perspectives, and indeed any other perspectives that come to your mind, and consider your own personal stance. Which of those four statements or perspectives are true for you? And what does that mean? What would it be like, I wonder, to try on a different perspective? And what would that mean? What else could be true for you? And how much could you alter the amount of pleasure that you get at work? Studies show that people for whom the statement "work is life" is true, they tend to express a higher level of satisfaction and well-being in their lives generally. A recent piece of research has indicated that there are three main ingredients to happiness and a sense of balance. Those three ingredients are pleasure, challenge, and meaning. We may have lots of one or two, but be lacking in the other. Real happiness and balance is about acquiring and maximizing all three of them in your daily life. Let's look first at the aspect of pleasure. Do you hate writing reports, for example, or loathe looking at budgets? There are bound to be certain jobs that we dislike. Sebastian Bailey, a psychologist and coach for the Mind Gym, says, "The way we define activities radically alters our enjoyment of them." Studies show that just by labelling a task as play means that we enjoy it much more than when we label it as work. We also know that when we enjoy something, we are usually better at it and more skilled. So how do you label your various work activities, I wonder? How could you relabel certain things so that you could positively alter the amount of enjoyment and pleasure you get out of them? Of the three main resources that we use to vote with, we are going to, on this podcast, focus on time and energy. With every minute, we are voting with our time, and we are voting with our energy. All day, we say yes to one thing and no to another. These choices are very largely in our control. We are in control of our lives and our destiny. So the question is, how can we make the choices that are right for us? There is a limited amount of time for all of us, regardless of who we are and what we do. Every single one of us, we all only have 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week, and 8,760 hours in a year. We will probably never become our millionaires because we would need to live to become at least 114 years old to achieve that. Sometimes we can't always say yes to everything we want to, as we do have commitments and responsibilities. And so the perspective we take on the balance in our lives may be on a weekly, monthly, or even yearly basis. For example, today I may feel that this week work is getting more of me than other parts of my life, and perhaps that doesn't feel so good for me. But how do I feel by the end of the month? On balance, what is my perspective? Very often we take a micro view of this balance. It might therefore perhaps be more helpful to establish a time frame within which we want to measure our perspective of balance that is more appropriate. What things do you say yes to? And what things do you say no to? How do you use your time? Your 24 hours in the day, your 168 hours in your week, and your 8,760 hours in your year. How could you eliminate or reduce the time pressure that you feel? How do your choices about how you spend your time reflect your highest values and beliefs? How often are you rushing around? And what is the cost of this behaviour to you? How do you want to spend the rest of the time that you have left this week, this month, this year, for the rest of your life? Let's move on to look at then for a moment leaking energy. Are you voting with your time and your energy in the same way? Or is there an imbalance inside you? For example, have you ever voted to continue working and stay late, but really your heart is at home? Or have you ever voted to go home, but your mind is still at work? This is where the energy and the time are moving in different directions. This is what we call leaking energy. When we make choices about our time and our energy that are not aligned and do not feel right for us, we usually then experience a considerable amount of internal resistance and stress that manifests itself in some way. It is often then that we say we do not have a work-life balance. The energy that this uses is often quite substantial, and in psychology is called leaking energy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that amount of energy could be positively channeled elsewhere? Research again indicates that those people for whom their choices of time and energy are aligned experience a far greater degree of well-being and balance and fulfillment. So how much leaking energy are you experiencing? What changes could you make to your voting choices so that you feel slightly more in balance with yourself? How could you then choose to vote positively with all of that energy? In a while, we will look at the two other ingredients of balance and happiness, which are challenge and meaning. But for now, I invite you to consider one question. What modifications could you make to your current time and energy voting habits so that you gain more pleasure and benefit from your work and your home and therefore your life? So we have spoken about achieving balance in our lives, particularly with regards to work and play and how we vote with our time and energy. We also introduced three core ingredients of happiness and balance as being pleasure, challenge, and meaning. Having explored pleasure, let us take a closer look now at challenge and meaning. The happiness that we experience from pleasure alone tends to be brief, instant, a feel-good hit. Whereas the happiness we derive from challenge is much deeper. When we use our skills to meet a challenge, we become totally absorbed and experience a very good state that psychologists call flow. Athletes are often known to call it being in the zone. Psychologists describe this as being in a state of enjoyment, deep involvement, a concentration so focused that it amounts to absolute absorption in an activity, often with a loss of awareness of the passing of time. Without challenge, we become apathetic and dissatisfied. But getting the right level of challenge with your skills is vital, so that you are stretched but not overwhelmed. Research interestingly shows that most people are more likely to have experiences of flow when they are at work than at any other time. Research also indicates that flow is a state which can be controlled and not just left to chance. The question is then, how do we get more of it? If a task has become dull, do it in a different way in order to shift the level of challenge for you. We can only achieve flow when we are using our key strengths. So find a way to use yours every day in some way. If you're not sure, ask yourself, what do I do where I lose all track of time? Those activities will show you where your key strengths are. Research also indicates strongly that physical activity can increase the presence of flow in your life and your experiences due to the additional endorphin boost that it provides. This means that some form of physical pastime or exercise can actually enable us to enjoy our work more as a result. It might be that you have too much, not too little, challenge. This could be addressed by reviewing the activity or increasing the level of skill that you have so that the balance of the flow equation can be reinstated. Too much challenge creates anxiety. Too little challenge creates boredom. Being in the zone and the state of flow is achieving the balance between the two, between skill and challenge, boredom and anxiety. Being in the zone. What do you do where you lose all track of time? Are there areas perhaps where you feel overwhelmed? Are there areas where you get bored? Do you feel that you have the right mix of skill and challenge in the various aspects of your work? Do you feel that you have the right mix of skill and challenge in aspects of your life that are outside of work? How could you increase the challenge? And would it be helpful to acquire more skill in certain areas? What are your key strengths? And most importantly, How often are you using them? The third ingredient for happiness and a sense of balance is meaning. The search for meaning is an essential part of what makes us human. It answers a deep need within us to find a purpose in life. We want to know that what we're doing is something significant with the time we've been allocated. Studies show a concrete link between happiness, a sense of work-life balance, and meaning. It is well documented that those who have a sense of purpose in their work and the rest of their lives are much happier than those who don't. So, what is the meaning of life? What is your sense of purpose where your work is concerned for you? What sense of purpose do you have in other areas of your life? What is it that you feel passionate about? And how much of your time do you spend on those things? Do you have a strong sense of your own identity and who you are? And in any given situation, what is the bigger picture for you? Things that can lead to a greater sense of meaning and purpose are being involved in some kind of cause, in or outside of work, getting involved in and spending time on something that you feel passionate about, spending time to consider the type of person you are. A greater sense of your own identity enhances your sense of meaning and purpose. And seeing the bigger picture, lifting ourselves up and out of the detail and reminding ourselves of why we are doing things. To summarise then, you have an opportunity to make your work and life more fulfilling and rewarding in a number of ways. You can look at how you vote with your time and energy. You can consider how you label your activities and therefore determine how much pleasure you can get out of them. And you can also refine the balance between challenge and skill. Finally, you can consider the greater purpose that your work holds for you. Lastly, I would like to say a few words about a concept called the tipping point. In performance coaching, we often talk about how the best benefits are achieved through regular, ongoing, and consistent activity. Radical or huge sweeping changes are not always a great idea or are even necessary and can often lead to what we know as the New Year's resolution effect, i.e., we set the resolution in January and by February it's long forgotten. So leaving this podcast saying to yourself, I'm going to have a total work-life balance in place by Friday, may not be the best objective to set for yourself. So, if you feel that there have been some aspects of this podcast that strike a chord for you, then I invite you to begin by simply noticing what you currently do. Then you could choose to make some initial small shifts in certain areas, and again, notice what impact this has, and so on. It is well documented that this type of approach, when done in a regular, ongoing, and consistent way, can lead to long-term positive changes being experienced and enjoyed. This links also to something known as the tipping effect, concept written about by Malcolm Gladwell. tipping point is a term that comes from the world of epidemiology and the study of disease. It is the name given to that moment when a virus reaches critical mass. It's the boiling point. It's the moment on the graph when the line starts to shoot straight upwards. So, it's the moment when the occurrence of a disease suddenly becomes an epidemic. Now, you might be wondering why on earth I am ending this podcast around work-life balance talking about epidemic disease. Well, it is because in his research, Gladwell discovered that the same process and effect can happen with personal positive change. Change doesn't always have to be slow and gradual in its progress. It can be fast and highly impactful in a very short space of time, often instigated by just one small shift. This concludes the podcast on work-life balance. I do hope you found this useful, and thank you very much for listening.